This month, we kick off the year of radiotherapy, raising awareness of this vital but undervalued cancer treatment. Our top scientists are picked to form an elite team of stem cell researchers. And in this Ask the Experts special edition, we ask our chief clinician and chief scientist where Cancer Research UK is headed in the future. Welcome to the Cancer Research UK podcast. I'm Dr. Kat Arney. Radiotherapy has been around for 100 years and cures more patients than chemotherapy. But a recent survey showed that fewer than 1 in 10 people think that radiotherapy is an effective modern cancer treatment. So in a bid to change radiotherapy status as the unsung hero in the fight against cancer, we recently launched the Year of Radiotherapy, together with other members of the National Radiotherapy Awareness Initiative. We'll be talking more about radiotherapy and our campaign in next month's podcast, so stay tuned. In the meantime, you can find out more about radiotherapy from our Science Update blog, that's scienceblog.cancerresearchuk.org. Many scientists increasingly think that at least some types of cancer are due to rogue stem cells, which fuel cancer growth and are resistant to treatment. As a result, stem cells have been identified as a hot topic by Cancer Research Technology, or CRT, the business arm of Cancer Research UK. CRT has brought together a team of our scientists to head up the Stem Cell Consortium to lead the way in this field. You can find out more about the stem cell team on our website. Simply follow the link from the podcast homepage. That's info.cancerresearchuk.org/news/podcast. Also this month, I caught up with Professor Peter Johnson, Cancer Research UK's chief clinician, and Professor Nick Jones, our newly appointed chief scientist. As well as being highly respected researchers in their own right, they're responsible for helping to set the direction of Cancer Research UK's work, making sure we're spending our supporters' money wisely on research that will make the biggest impact on cancer. I started by asking Peter to explain how we can get lab scientists and doctors to work together to bring better treatments to patients.
Basic scientists go into the field because they want to find out what makes things tick. And doctors generally go into the field because they want something you can do about a specific problem. And those, although you might think they operate in the same kind of space, are actually quite distinct approaches to it. Meshing those two together to make sure you build the right kind of team so that you move through from the molecular understanding to how you develop a drug to how you give it to people most effectively is a really interesting challenge. There isn't anywhere in the world that has got a clear and obvious answer to how you do it well, but I think Cancer Research UK is one of the places that does it as well as anyone in the world, because we do have this very broad spread of research that we cover all the way through from very, very basic molecular work at the subcellular level right up to clinical work and even populations and understanding how the things that we do affect large numbers of people.
So Nick, as a basic cancer researcher, how do you think we can get the scientists who are working in the lab to really get their discoveries out into the clinic as fast as possible?
I mean, I think it's really developing the right kind of culture. You know, I found where I work now, we're very lucky because, you know, the institute that I'm part of is next to a cancer-specific hospital. So we do have clinicians that are juxtaposed to basic scientists, laboratory-based scientists, and so on. But just because they're next to each other, that doesn't mean they talk to each other and they understand each other. So it's creating the right kind of culture where that interaction takes place. Because, you know, in the end of the day, it's not a handover experience. It's not that the basic scientists discover something, they then hand it over to the people who are going to develop drugs, they then hand it over to the clinicians who are going to do clinical trials and so on. It's really a two-way process, because once you've been in the clinic with a particular drug, very, very interesting questions then arise within the clinic that need to go back in the lab to be addressed and so on. So it's really creating a multidisciplinary kind of environment where, you know, people talk to each other, people see the opportunities where the work that they can do, you know, in a translational way can be facilitated by that environment. Basic scientists, although they're absolutely interested in the work that they do and understanding particular mechanisms and so on, if you really ask them, they'd be thrilled if they thought that the work they do really would have an effect. So you have to create environments where you make it easy for them to do that because they have the right people around them. Drug discoverers, you know, medicinal chemists, they have pharmacologists, they have clinical researchers, They have molecular pathologists and so on. So you know, this mix of different disciplines that need to be in place to really make sure that that pathway from basic discovery to the clinic can really be accomplished.
So, Peter, how do you think Cancer Research UK can facilitate this? And what sort of things are we already doing to bridge this gap between the lab and the clinic?
One of the really interesting features of what's happening at the moment is the fact that the development of technology is starting to not exactly drive the questions we ask, but allow us to address a completely different set of questions. So the kind of progress which has been made in the speed with which you can sequence a genome has lifted us into an entirely different area for how we go about analysing tumours, how we go about understanding the differences between them and what the underlying events are. So whereas previously we've always thought in a rather reductionist way about a cancer cell and the small number of events which have driven that to behave as it does, we're suddenly able to think in much more complex terms, and we're suddenly deriving information on a much grander scale than we ever have before about the biology of cancer. And making sense of that is going to be a fantastic challenge for us, and our ability to analyse very complex sets of molecular data. So we're going from a rather simplistic analysis of cancer into something which is much more sophisticated. And we're starting to ask the complex questions, not because we've never thought of them before, but because we never thought we'd have a way of answering them before. So we're moving into a very different era of inquiry. And that's really exciting.
So the way that cancer research and cancer treatment seems to be going is towards personalising treatment, being able to do these genetic tests and work out what treatment might work best for someone. But it sounds like it is going to be very expensive. And obviously, as a charity, we have a limited pot of money. What do you think our priorities should be? And can we really afford to do everything that we want to do in this area?
The research is always going to be expensive. In practice, the costs of doing some of these analyses, such as the cost of sequencing a genome, is coming down all the time simply because the technology changes and because our ability to process the data gets better and better as computers get better. So I don't think it's infinite cost. I think where we need to put our priorities is where we've always put them, really, which is what are the most important fundamental questions about the biology of cancer. And where is it that using that knowledge is going to have the biggest impact in the clinic? But I'm very optimistic. I see an ever-increasing pace of change in biology. And I also see better and better clinical research being done. And the structures that we've put in place in the UK to conduct clinical trials so that we have, you know, more patients per head of the population taking part in cancer trials than anywhere else in the world really is changing the game as far as our ability to ask those questions in the clinic is concerned.
And taking a step into the lab, where do you think the priorities lie for basic cancer researchers such as yourself? Where are the really interesting questions?
I mean, the really interesting questions still remain, you know, aimed at understanding individual tumours in far greater detail and what kind of events can drive that tumour, and therefore what kind of events can we intervene into to combat a particular tumour development. So I think, you know, those kind of questions are still the questions that we need to be addressing. We need to understand tumour biology in more depth than we do now, although the progress, as I say, over the last 5 years has been absolutely tremendous. But then you need to take it to the next step, and that next step is to actually ask within you know, human tumours, you know, what kind of changes have taken place and so on. So I think it's almost a natural progression that, you know, the basic science is becoming closer to the kind of clinical science, because our sophistication of understanding is driving us to that interface. In the past, scientific research was all about individuals. You know, individual lab, you lived or died by what you did in the lab. You were kind of in individual domains. I think in the future, that's going to have to break down. And you know, scientific research is going to more and more be around teams. Whether those teams are, you know, basic biologists working with the computer biologists, working with the engineers, working with the physicists, or working with an interface in terms of clinical research. And I think that's a big challenge for Cancer Research UK in terms of doing that. But you know, if you consider over the next 5 years, it's going to spend something like £1.5 billion on cancer research. That's an enormous amount of money. It's an enormous responsibility in making sure that that money is spent in the right way, but it's an enormous opportunity in terms of influencing the way that cancer research is conducting and is developed. And, you know, we can't be thinking about what's going to happen next year. We've got to be thinking about what's happening in 5 years' time or 10 years' time. We've got to see where the whole development of cancer research is going and position ourselves in such a way that we can really input into that in the best possible way.
And you've just taken up a position as Cancer Research UK's chief scientist. How do you see your role in helping us to make this kind of progress and helping to shape this kind of progress?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's an incredibly exciting time to be involved in cancer research. And you know, I can't stress that enough. And Cancer Research UK is a very big organization in cancer research. It basically drives cancer research in this country. So having the opportunity to really help to lead the scientific strategy of Cancer Research UK over the coming few years was you know, it's just an exciting opportunity, and it's one that you couldn't turn down. I see a big role for myself, not just in terms of leading strategic kind of direction in terms of research that we do, but also in terms of ensuring that, you know, the scientific community that we fund is very much engaged with the organization. The expertise and experience we have out there in the scientists and clinicians that we fund is totally immense. We need to make sure that we make use of that expertise and experience to help us shape the direction of the way the organisation goes in the future, the strategic direction of the organisation.
So, Peter, where do you see the future of our clinical research heading?
It's really interesting to be in a large research organisation at this point. There's a very strong feeling that the pace of change is getting faster and faster, and that doing the same thing that people have always done is just not tenable, which is quite uncomfortable because everybody gets used to doing things a particular way. You get used to doing science a particular way. You get used to practicing medicine a particular way. But there is no doubt that in our field, the change is very rapid. And you might expect a big organisation like Cancer Research UK to be relatively conservative and to be quite static. Actually, the interesting thing about Cancer Research UK is that we're entirely the opposite. We're incredibly ambitious. It's an incredibly dynamic organisation which changes faster probably than the outside world in many respects in our approach to science and medicine. And so we really are in a position to lead the field, to take some ambitious steps, to develop innovative programmes of research, and to start to think very differently about how cancer is treated. And trying to line those ambitions up with a health service which is in a constant state of flux and never more than now. We're about to undergo an enormously radical reorganisation of the way we deliver healthcare in the UK. So trying to square off the ways in which we want to see cancer treatment develop and the ways in which we want to bring the results of our research to bear in the clinic at the same time as people are scratching their heads and wondering how to make hospitals run and how to make primary care run in the future is more than a little challenging. But actually, it's not something that particularly worries me, because you always have opportunities in these kinds of situations. And although there will be constraints on budget, and finding out how you make things work in practice in the clinic is going to be as challenging as it's ever been, actually, we really are on the threshold of big changes in the way that we look after people. So for me, working out how we do those trials, working out how we turn those trials into medicine in reality is just a fantastic challenge.
Some people do say, well, you guys have been working on trying to cure cancer for 100 years. We're clearly not there yet. Do you feel that we have made progress? And how do you think that people maybe will view cancer, say, in 10, 20 years' time? Will we have cured it? Will we have beaten it?
I treat lymphoma, things like non-Hodgkin lymphoma, and the people that I look after with the most common aggressive sort of lymphoma have a 70-80% chance of cure now. When I started doing this as a training medical oncologist 15-20 years ago, it was about 50-50. This isn't about living a few months longer with an expensive drug. This is cured, gone away. discharged from the clinic, gone back to normal life. So we are making massive inroads, and there are plenty of other examples in other types of cancer treatment. Bit by bit, we nudge away at the problem. There's never going to be a moment at which we say we've got a cure for all sorts of cancer. What's increasingly clear is that by bringing the knowledge to bear, we make massive inroads. The scene has changed fantastically, even in the length of time that I've been working in it. And I don't see any sign of that letting up. And I think that we will gradually chip away at it bit by little bit. There's never going to be one moment where we stand back and say, well, that's that then. But certainly every year there are more and more of these things coming through. Every year we're seeing the papers being published, the new types of drugs, the new types of radiotherapy, the new types of surgery coming through, which really do make a difference.
That was Cancer Research UK's Chief Clinician, Professor Peter Johnson, and Professor Nick Jones, our Chief Scientist. Join us next month for all the latest news and discussion. Until then, you can follow us on Twitter, find us on Facebook, or sign up to our RSS feeds for all the latest news.